Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm zooming in here from Grass Valley, our Grass Valley office. And I've got Rosalie Brown down in LA, and we're here to talk about stuff. All of a sudden, I lost my train of thought.
This is starting off strong.
Okay. We're just talking about, my birthday's coming up, and I'm getting old, man.
I know, and I'm just gonna say how young and spry you are. But now that your brain's shutting down, I gotta be ready to take over at any moment.
It's the first thing to go, right? That we were talking about the other day. It's like, we had one friend complaining about how she's not remembering things, and we're like, yeah, that's just part of getting old, right? Like not remembering people's names and what you're doing, and sometimes even where you're at. It's like, oh, geez, what am I doing? Oh,
yeah. Right? Yeah, it's good to have a tracking, like have your phone with you at all times so they can at least track it if you forget where you are.
Right.
It's like the new life alert.
That's not even a joke. I have this one friend who is a business associate of mine I'm in a business group with. He's in his 70s. He fell and hit his head and had a mild concussion, went to the doctor, everything seemed to be fine. And then about 3 or 4 days later, he tells his wife, he goes to Starbucks to go get a cup of coffee and just disappears. And she's waiting and he's gone for like an hour or two. And so she tracks him on his phone and she's able to find him. And he had a brain hemorrhage and had to be rushed in for brain surgery because he fell but the tracking of the phone, right? I'm like, oh my God. And actually, not even in his 70s, he's in his mid late 60s. But yeah. And it was just, he banged his head and then later on it occurred. And yeah, so have that tracking on your phone and have your significant other or somebody,
Yeah. Wow.
Because he didn't know where he was. He completely, and he didn't even realize he was lost at the time because he was so far gone. So yeah. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. That's good. All right. That's fun.
Well, that's not exactly DIY. But anyway, what's going on? Everything is kind of crazy here. I know weather has been nuts, so it's like springtime and warm and hot actually. And I hear you were just saying it's like it's gonna be 89 down in LA.
Yeah, I have the AC on right now. It's it's a balmy 82 right now. It's supposed to hit about 90. And I don't live in even like the hot part of town because there's like you know, little ecosystems all over Los Angeles. So
microclimates.
Yeah, I live in actually the cooler part, but 89 degrees. So I do have to run out later to go to the post office. And I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, oh, even though my car has air conditioning and it's basically not going to affect me at all, it's like,
and your car's parked in a garage.
Yeah, totally covered. I'm like, I don't want to go out. It's too hot. Like, I mean, yeah, talk about aging. But you know what's funny about aging? So I forget, we were talking about this kind of making jokes earlier, and this to me is funny. So I get this, this is related, I promise. But so I get this text yesterday from my high school boyfriend, and we've stayed friends, we were a big deal back then. So we stayed friends, and he used to have this 68, he had two Camaros, but he had a 67 and a 68. Oh, wow. And so his folks just passed away recently in the last couple of years. And, he's in the process of selling their house, his childhood home. So he sends me a picture yesterday, and it was the Camaro that we went to junior prom and senior prom, like our whole, our whole little teenage lives were in this Camaro. And he shows it to me on a, he said, I'm shipping it to Arizona to restore it. And I was like, wait a minute, how old are we? It was old back then, because it was like 67, 68. And now you're going to get restored. Like something in my brain just clicked about like, oh my my God, the car has to be shipped away to be restored. Like,
it's going to be 55 years old this year. I know that because I was born in 67.
I was like, holy smokes. But the car, like, so I saw the car and I was like, oh my God, like, that's just, it's just, it was just, it just really took me back. And it made me realize, like, first off, cars were so much cooler looking back then, but also like, wow, we really are old. Like, we have to go get to restoration stuff and I'm going to have to go get restored soon. And, but yeah, it was like a moment where I went, oh yeah, I'm getting old. The car that I lived my childhood in is going to go be restored because it's too old. Okay, cool. It's being towed to Arizona. It can't be driven. So yeah, I sometimes feel like that car. I feel like, you know, a little vintage, a little broken. Yeah. Just get me on the, point me to Arizona.
Classic is better than vintage, right?
For restoration. Crazy.
They do have some nice spas down there.
So, right. But a little hot though. You know, I don't like it hot. If I didn't mention him a few minutes ago, I don't like it hot.
Right. This time of year is not the time to be going to Arizona.
Oh my God. I don't like it too hot and I don't like it too cold. So I'm really have to be in like 72 degrees at all times. And I don't know where that exists. I'm as close to where that could exist, I think, in the United States.
Highlands of Mexico.
Okay. I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Islands of Mexico. I know like my son Theo lives in Nevada or in Mexico City and it's pretty much 70 to 80 degrees every day. Okay. All year long.
All right. Well, there's,
and it
there's
cools off
next.
At night down to like 40s and 50s. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty ideal. I'm pretty close to that now, but I feel like if I just wanted to go a little bit more in line, maybe I'll go down and visit Theo so I can get a feel for it. But Okay, so with all that craziness, let's talk about it getting warmer
and we start thinking about like, you know, what are people up to these days? Like, I know I'm working on my garden, right? We spent the weekend working on the yard this weekend and doing stuff around the house. So I thought we'd kind of dip into getting prepared for spring because I'm sure if you didn't spend last weekend out in your yard, you're probably going to spend this weekend out in your yard. And one thing I noticed is it's been a really dry year. Like that's you can't not notice that. But I noticed that some of my plants are going to need to be watered here in the next week or two, especially with this heat. So I got to go out and check out my irrigation system. So I thought we'd kind of go over, you know, preparing or getting your irrigation system up and running from its hiatus over the winter. Because there is a procedure that, you know, that you can go through and can save you quite a bit of money in repair if you follow some of these tips where you won't have to repair them. Or you can, you know, make some minor repairs as you find them as opposed to doing some things. But in any event, that would kind of hit on that. That's pretty good, right? That's a good topic.
I'm impressed. My topic was not as but
it was good. It was upcycling, but I'm like, you know what? I think this is a little more timely just because of the fact that it's, you know, we're in a drought again, or we haven't been out of a drought and it's starting to warm up again. And it's, you know, not even April yet.
And, you know, in your defense, my other topic that was the rabbit hole I went down was about tiny homes and that you could buy them on Amazon. And I'm not going to lie to you. That's, I was a good hour and a half this morning, like diving into like, wait a minute, I bought a house. I could have just bought this thing off Amazon. Like, what am I doing with my life? Right. So yeah, anyway, but so yeah, this is much more time.
So one motto I've always lived by, and I can't remember where I read this though. If you're paying DMV fees, it's not a house.
Well, there was some interesting notations.
Because they're all trailers. So you got to pay DMV fees.
There was some interesting.
And they depreciate really fast. They don't appreciate like a house does. So
you know that I don't look at my long-term future. I just look at here and now. So I'm all about here and now. Like, how long have you known me? 15 years now.
And they're kind of ridiculous. Those tiny homes, man, I've seen people spend $100,000 on these things and they'll depreciate within like 3 to 5 years down to 40 grand.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm not trying to make my money back. I just want to be on the cutting edge of like my house arrived from Amazon today, you know. Right. I mean, that's a whole nother.
That part was cool. I actually, to be honest, I did go down that rabbit hole before. That article that you saved, shared with me, I'd already
you've seen it. You've already been there.
I already gone through it. Because I get lost in those as well.
I know. We do.
It's a neat concept.
It is cool. Yeah. I hate logic. People like you that bring logic. I'm like, you're no fun. You're no fun. But no, well, you're right.
I saw one that was for sale up in Cisco Grove for $100,000 parked at the trailer park, up at the campground up there. Yeah. And $100,000? Are you kidding?
I don't know.
Hey, yeah, that's that nice. Anyway, let's talk about spring and irrigation and stuff. So ironically, number one on this one is check the soil. Make sure the soil is thawed to a depth of at least 12 inches. We don't really have to worry about that here.
No problem. Soil is thawed. Soil
rarely freezes. And even if it does, it's only a couple inches deep. It doesn't go down anywhere near that. So check the soil, but I would say check the soil and see if it needs starting to be watered, but or if it's starting to dry out. But also right now you probably won't need to water, but get the stuff done before you need to water, because you might need to buy some parts. The first thing, so check around the soil. The next thing would be check the controller. So if it is a automatic system, if you have a timer, just check and make sure, that the battery is good, because most of them have a battery backup. If the power goes down, it'll save all the settings, which is really handy. And it's usually like a 9-volt or a couple double A's. Maybe not, check it with a voltmeter, or old school like I do. If it's 9 volts, put it to your tongue. You can see if it's still got juice or not.
I swear to you, I believe that, but I just
works.
Can you not like that? Don't do as he says. Just like he's the clown in the room. Like he's the clown in the room. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it.
It feels like tingling.
So makes check me the feel alive. Makes me feel alive.
Exactly. Make sure that it's got power to it, and also make sure the batteries are good on it. You may want to just replace the batteries regardless. If you don't want to test them, just replace them. It's only going to cost you a couple bucks. Next thing is to check the water source. Make sure you have water to it. So hopefully you've got a system that has a valve on it so that you can turn the water off to your irrigation system, so you don't leave it under in the winter where it can freeze. So now would be the time to turn the water on to the irrigation system. So making sure you've got water going to the system. The next thing is check the valves, inspect the valves closely to ensure they're functioning properly. So that's, most of the valves have like a little solenoid in them, a thing that turns the valve on and off. So when you turn the water on, there'll be water to the valves, and they've got wires going from those valves to the controller. So go and visually inspect all the valves and make sure they're holding water. Make sure you don't have water running past them. Make sure they're not leaking. Make sure they didn't freeze over the wintertime, because even if you did drain the system, there is a chance that one of them could have broken during the wintertime. We had a pretty mild winter this year, so it's not very likely that anything will have frozen, but really depends on where you are in the altitude and where you are in topography. If you're in a low spot, you know where you live, if it's cold or not. But make sure nothing's frozen. Next thing you would do is, and also on those valves, make sure you go check for leaks and then loose or broken wires, because that'll happen. Animals walk by them, depending on where it is. Mine are underground, but I still have, lizards and things that cruise around in there, and mine are out in the field. So we've got, rodents that cruise around them, and you want to check the wiring, make sure it's not bitten through, make sure, all the wire connectors are tight and connected. Just make sure all the wiring is good, and also you want to make sure that your valves aren't underwater. Sometimes they get to a puddle, and make sure the wires are definitely not underwater, because it can corrode and make it so they don't work so good. So then once you've done all that, what I normally do is I will go ahead on, depending on what system you're talking about. Since you're on a drip system, the next thing I do is I go to the end of the run. And if it's a drip system, what you'll normally do is you'll have a pipe that's been bent over and held in place by a little plastic collar. So it's just crimped, and that's what stops the water from going through it. I'll open that up and then turn the water on and flush out any debris that might have migrated into the system. Because any little bit of grit can clog, especially in drip, can clog the emitters, in on sprinkler heads that can clog some of the, it'll make some of the sprays not work as well. So go ahead and flush the system entirely. And I'll usually let it run for, you know, a couple minutes just to make sure I get water all the way through the system from the beginning to the end. And depending on how long the run is, like I've got one run in my property that's, gosh, it's, I think it's like 300 feet. It's a really long run. So I'll let that one run for quite a bit. I'll let that run for closer to five, sometimes even 10 minutes, just to make sure I thoroughly flush everything out of that. Once you've done that, once you've flushed everything out, then go ahead and put that collar back in place after crimping the pipe, and then go around and check all the emitters. So we're just talking about drip now. Check all the emitters and make sure water's coming out and make sure you don't have any water spraying up. You know, sometimes the dog or you may have stepped on one and broke one of the emitters off and not spraying up. Also making sure that the emitters are actually, you've got water coming out of them, because sometimes even though you just flush the lines, you may have gotten, it may have gotten clogged. Most emitters, you can take the top handle off and flush water out of it and flush any debris. So, and there's some videos on how to do that. It's hard to describe, but you can find it on YouTube. So I'd flush those out, make sure they're, you know, if anything's clogged, flush them out. Is this all making sense? I know, I mean, I'm kind of rambling on.
I'm visualizing it. I'm picturing it in my head but I did want to say, so when we first started, so we're focusing initially on like the drip system, the drip irrigation.
I'm talking mainly drip right now, but it's kind of like, I've got a combination system. We've got a bank of, we've got two systems and two different sets of irrigation heads. And on each system, part of one or two valves are for drip and then the rest are for sprinklers. So it's all kind of the entire system. And a lot of people will have the same thing, because you don't necessarily need to spray. You don't necessarily want to spray your entire yard if you've got bushes, because then you got a lot of weeds come up in between them and stuff. It's better to have drip. So yeah, we're just talking about drip right now. So, but once I'm done with that, once I've checked my entire drip irrigation system, I'll leave it on, let it water the plants for a little bit, just make sure everything works. I'll let it run for 10 minutes or something like that. And then I'll move on to the sprinklers on the lawn. And that's a little different, because you don't usually have a way of flushing water out of those. You can polish the sprinkler head, but to be honest, the lawn sprinklers, if it gets a little grit in it, you just pull the head off and clean it out. It's not like the drip irrigation, so not anywhere near as sensitive to grit. A lot of it will just run right through, because the orifices are a lot bigger on it. And a lot of them have screens on them anyway. So I don't really worry about it as much. So what I'll do on the lawn is I'll turn the lawn sprinklers on. I'll do each station, because most lawns are set up where you have separate stations, because the reason we do that is because there's only so much pressure and so much volume.
Right.
Okay. You want enough. You need enough pressure, enough volume to make those things work and spread the water far enough. So I'll go through each system and make sure that all the sprinklers are working. And if you got a system like mine, which is probably 30 years old and it's been put together with, you know, kept alive with duct tape and zip ties, you probably have to replace a couple sprinkler heads or pull the sprinkler heads off and clean them out. One of them I have to fix all the time, because if my dog's outside, he's got this one that he really likes to dig up every time. So I have to go back and rebury it, because he likes to play in the sprinklers. Right? So that one's kind of my problem one. I have to deal with that one every year. I already know that one. So go around and inspect all the sprinkler heads and make sure they're functioning. Make sure they're spraying where you want them to spray. Because I know I've got some in my property that are adjustable, and they'll go out of adjustment. So you got to make sure that they're working. So then if you need to replace anything, you go out and buy new stuff and put it on.
Can I ask a question? So let's say that the dog won out, with the one, like he just took it out. Cause you know, you and I have dogs that have similar
we'll do that. Yeah.
Quirks.
Yeah.
Similar personalities. So how much would
mine
you...
woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning because we had the window open. Yeah. That's one time.
So okay. So like we're kindred spirits. Yeah. So if you were to have to go and replace this the head, like just would you just have to replace the sprinkler head itself? Is that just a small ticket item? I don't really know.
So depending on the system you've got, like I've got Rainbird sprinklers, they're pop-ups. Mm-hmm. So I don't usually replace the entire pop-up.
Okay.
There, the little pop-up nozzle that pops up out of the ground, they'll unscrew and you can replace that. And they're a couple bucks. I'll buy a bag of 5 or 6 and just keep them in the shed. And as they wear out, you know, and inevitably I'll replace 1 or 2 a year, it seems. But, you know, it's like a couple bucks.
Yeah.
No, and it's total DIY.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those things where it's really simple. It can be a little difficult to get the thing to pop out.
Sure.
Because they sit flush. So what I'll usually do when I have to replace a sprinkler head is I'll put my shorts on and my flip-flops and turn it on and walk over in the sprinkler while the sprinkler's on, hold it with my finger and unscrew it and put it back on and just do it live, you know.
Yeah, that's a very YouTubeable moment. That's a very good, like that would be fun to video you doing that.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that just because I'm a jerk, but I think that's, I can actually see my dad and my grandpa doing stuff like that. Like, just like, you know what? It's water. Just go in and just,
you're not going to melt. Yeah. No.
Exactly. You're not made of sugar. That's what my dad would say.
You're not made of sugar. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it can, there are other ways they make tools and things, but yeah, I found just putting my shorts on.
That's the most basic. Flip-flops. Yeah. 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 Get it done the quickest.
It works.
Yeah. Get it right. Done. Old school.
And then lastly, the last thing you do is go through and set the timer. Make sure you've got the timer set for the season that you're trying to water for, right? Like right now, it looks like we might be getting some rain next week. Probably won't be turning the sprinkler on until after we get that rain. But this time of year, you don't need as much water as you do in July and August, right? So, and you probably know better, if you've lived with the system long enough, you know better how long those need to be on. And if you don't, there's plenty of information out on the internet to tell you how long to run them, because I don't remember. We've got a plan that our landscaper gave us and when to set them up and when to, at how long. And we usually just follow that. And if it starts to look dry, we'll kick it up. Or if it starts to look wet, we'll kick it down a little bit.
I didn't even know there was such a thing. That's fascinating to me. There's a whole schedule, recommended schedule. See, I would just be overwatering everything.
Yeah. And you know, you kind of like in the beginning of the season, you're not watering as much. And in the middle of the season, you water a lot more. And then near the end of the season, you take it down quite a bit, but not as much as you do as in the spring, because the ground's still pretty wet in the spring. But come, you know, August, September, it's pretty bone dry in California, right? We haven't seen rain all summer. So in the Mediterranean climate that we're in. So yeah, you'll need to water quite a bit more, but yeah, just check, you know, Sunset's got a bunch of stuff on it and a bunch of other things. There's a bunch of resources on the internet about it. So it's pretty easy, but that's basically, you know, start up and set up of an irrigation system that's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And installing a drip system, you know, we had a little bit in here, you know, a little time. I did all my own drip irrigation. It's pretty easy. And there, again, there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube about it, about how many emitters. I kind of learned the hard way. I didn't use enough emitters, but I had a couple plants that didn't quite make it, but you figure it out. And it's pretty easy and pretty inexpensive. You can run it on top of the ground. You don't even have to bury it. I really like drip irrigation. So, yeah.
I remember when you were kind of setting that stuff up, and we talked a little bit in different shows about, you know, how you kind of figured out the right amount, and a lot of it is just kind of, usually it's a revision later, like, okay, this seemed like a good idea and I undersold it, undercut it.
I undercut it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I try to go for as little as possible. And then I realized, oh, I should have added another
one. That sounds about like you. Let me go ahead.
Story of my life.
Yeah. Let me undercut. And maybe then,
Okay. And it is one of those things, like, it's not something I do every day. So I don't really do it at all, except for my own house. It's trial and error. Yeah. Unless you do it a lot, it's hard to know. But in any event, that's our show. And if you need to reach us on any kind, if you've got an irrigation valve that's blown and need to have that repaired, we do irrigation valves. If you need any plumbing, electrical, heating, or air work, you can reach us at 530-230-9092. That number again, 530-230-9092. You can find us on the web at easyasabt.com and find us on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook. We got a lot of fun stuff. And you can find these shows on our website. And that's it. Catch you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.